Digital Vista. Hey, what I say, sir? Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Cameron is here.
No, Dr. Cameron is not on at this time, but you are on.
Yes.
Yes, you are on.
I am the only one on.
Yes, so you can go ahead and start until they get here. You can start until you get here, unless you want me to put on another track.
Yeah, put on another music.
Okay, will do.
All right, thank you.
there's power in the name of. There's healing in the name of. There's salvation in the name of. The Bible says that demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus, my sweet Rose of Sharon, my Lily of the Valley. Oh, that's the reason I say that
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I do know, that Jesus is the way. Cannot climb. I know your skies are dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything He promised, He will do it for you. That's the reason I say,
Jesus is the answer for the world.
Above Him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Oh yeah.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Oh no.
Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
I believe I'm gonna play it right now.
Amen and amen and amen. wherever you are right now. I hope you can. Wherever you are right now, I hope you can just take a few moments and just reflect on where you are and where you need to be. You see, many a times we want to take on the journey and we want to do it all by ourselves. And sometimes we are so disobedient that even when the Holy Spirit is leading us down the right path, we seem to be fighting against it. Wherever you are today, I just want to welcome you. Tonight we should be interviewing Coach Michael Dykes. I hope he is coming on pretty soon. I have some questions that I definitely would love to ask him, because he is one of those individuals over the years who have done great things with young people. You know, he's able to get an average person or transform an average person into extraordinary athletes. So I hope he will be joining us soon, and I hope he'll be willing and able to answer many of the questions that I am asking. Now, recently, we saw a situation last week that occurred during the boys' championship, the girls' championship. You know, we thought that the COVID crisis would have delayed or postponed the boys' and the girls' championship, but God gave them the opportunity to follow through. Now, I know some people might say, you know, track and field and sports, that it is not important, and maybe we can focus on other things. But I would like you all to know, wherever you are right now, that sports in general, especially track and field, have provided more scholarship opportunities for young people in Jamaica than anything else. And when I say athletic opportunity, I'm not just talking about opportunities in the country. I'm talking about taking a person who find themselves in an inner city and sending them over to Canada, to the United States of America, to Australia, to different parts of the world. I am a recipient of earning a scholarship and using the opportunity to pave my way. If it was not for my athletic ability, I don't know where I would have been now. Maybe I would be on some street corner trying to ask for a favor. So God has been good, because he gave young people the talent to use to make something of themselves. So I really hope that tonight Mr. Dyke will join us, because what he has done over the years with his institution is something that is worth mentioning. So when he's on, give me the signal and I am ready to go. But recently, last week, we had a little bit of controversy that took place in the boys' championship, where a young boy by the name of Antonio Watson, class 100, 200 meters, and apparently after he came from behind to win the race, when he finished the race, he used his left finger, or I should say his left hand, and he formed a gun, so to speak, with his fingers. And he fired two shots with his fingers, and then he went into his hip with his right hand and pulled out another imaginary finger gun and select the magazine, and it created a whole lot of controversy in Jamaica, because they were saying, the spectators and some of the announcers were saying, it was inappropriate and they should strip him of his medal and they should get the police involved, and on and on and on and on. Now, one of my philosophy has been that we who are in leadership positions should be willing to guide the young people, because young people make mistakes. And even though this young man prayed before he actually ran the race, no one was focusing on the prayer that he prayed. And I can't say that there were some argument or some exchange of words before the start of the race or maybe during the warm-up. But most of us know that when athletes, especially male athletes, because of our competitive nature, sometimes we might go overboard and do things or say things that one may question. But this young man, Antonio Watson, that even though he apologized, people were saying that he should be disqualified, he should be suspended, he should be stripped of his title, he should be banned. They were saying all different types of things. Now, I am one of them who believe that all of us who are here listening tonight, that we were not perfect boys and girls. Only one perfect person, the scripture said, is Jesus. Everybody else falls short of the goal. But what I should even say, it surprised me. But to see how adults form a group and started to attack this 18-year-old boy with words, with accusations, the way they criticize him, I have to ask myself, how can young people be the future of tomorrow if we don't allow them to fail? Or how can they be effective leaders if we are not willing to take the time to point out where they went wrong, how they went wrong, and see if we can use our own experiences to guide their way? You know, this is why Jesus made it very clear that he who is without sin should throw the first stone. And when he said that, everyone started to look within themselves. And we as human beings are like that, that we see the faults in everybody else except ourselves. So I'm here to tell you that let us change our perspective. Let us be more supportive to those individuals who are falling short. Let us be more understanding to young people. Now, people will say that, you know, these young people today, they don't want better in life. And that is not true. That is certainly not true. I know for sure that young people out there, some of them are looking for a better way, and some of them don't know where to turn. Now, the ironic thing about last week's event is that those even who are in power, who understand that such action did not create crimes in Jamaica, that they still try to spin that narrative to make it seem like because the gentleman made the actions with his fingers, that he is automatically a criminal. That way of thinking would lead our country, our people, especially our young people, over the ditch. You know, sometimes people are harsh with other people's kids. And when it comes to them being just with their own, they're not. Because they may allow them to break all the rules. So I hope this young man is not disheartened. I hope he continues to lift his head up. I hope he seek new information and way of thinking And I personally would love to be his mentor. So instead of throwing him to the wolves, I personally would love to get that opportunity to sit with him, to talk with him, to counsel him, to show him where he went wrong. You know, one of the things that make a lot of us, older folks, dislike the traditional parenting, you know. Because when we did wrong, our parents used to whoop us. And they wouldn't even explain to us the violation. What did we do? All we know, we were getting beat left, right, and center. And this is the same thing they are doing to this young man. They are scolding him. They are chastising him. They are trying to punish him without first sitting with him and explain to him where he went wrong. Now, here's the ironic thing now. 2 years ago, I won't mention the name and I won't mention the individual name or the individual institution, but one particular guy won his event. He was from one of those name brand schools. And when he won that race, he started celebrating and he started to use his same fingers and bust a blank in the ear. Pam, 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 pam. In fact, his father was so excited that he too started to bust a blank in celebration of his son. They were just happy. And no one criticized this father and son because of the institution that they attended. It was acceptable. And that is unfair. You see, we are happy that God is not like man, because they use one standard to judge one, and if they like you, they use a different standard to judge you. Now, it is said that because this young man is from an institution that is not popular, he's from an institution that in the country, that maybe that is one of the reasons that they are pouncing on him like this and trying to strip his medal. It is so not right. So, I hope we who are in leadership positions will be just, because sometimes we only want to be just when something is affecting us. But justice should be for all. It shouldn't be for some. We shouldn't be able to use our money to buy justice. We shouldn't be able to use our talent to buy justice or our good looks. No. We should be just because it is the right thing to do. So I hope today Mr. Dyke will pass through, and I hope he can share some of his knowledge and his experience with some of us who may have a whole lot of questions that we would love to ask. I truly hope so. Mr. Moderator, is Mr. Dyke coming on anytime soon? We need to hear from Mr. Dyke, you know. He has a lot to hear.
No. He's coming on. He's coming on pretty soon. I heard from him through the phone. But, I mean, you're doing an excellent job. I think, for the first time going solo, you're doing very good.
All right. So when he's on, you let me know.
So you're overseas?
Yes, man. I'm actually in Miami right now.
Oh, so you're in Miami. Okay, mm-hmm. Which is good. I mean, as soon as he gets on, he'll know. But, I mean, I think you were doing an excellent job. I mean, I I didn't hear about what school was the gentleman from?
Remember the school, you know. I can't remember the school, but in fact, the gentleman that finished second went to, I think, Edwin Allen, which is the school that Mr. Dyke coaches. So
okay.
I am sure he might have a little bit more information. He could share with us if there were any, you know, mounting off, so to speak, over at the warm-up area that would want this young man to point his finger at this particular individual. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mr. Dyke today. I hope he comes on pretty soon.
I'm thinking that he probably should be coming on. You said you were also a track athlete, right? What?
Yes, man.
What distance?
The 400 meters.
Oh, so you were, and which school did you
I went to Excelsior High School.
You were in Excelsior. Did you participate in the NAs?
Yes, I won several championships at the Penn Relays. I ran for George Mason University, and I was able, fortunately, we won several championships, 4x4, 4x8, sprint medley, distance medley. I would always run that 400-meter leg. So, fortunately for me, we won some Penn Relays championship. I have 3 Olympic medals.
So you participated in the Olympics too?
Yes, man. I went to 2 Olympics. I went to the Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia, and also in Sydney, Australia. And I've represented Jamaica for about close to 15 years. I've been to about 7 or 8 world championships over the years. So, you know, this is why I am able to relate to this young man and the situation that he found himself in, because I have on numerous occasions found myself in similar situations where, not in terms of celebration, but in terms of principles and being on the other side when it comes to favoritism and partiality. So I do understand, and if I didn't have a strong mind, the things that they did to me was enough to break me. And I'm hoping that this young man, that he's not broken because of, you know, the amount of people who came down on him, the amount of people who were criticizing him. You know, I'm hoping that he has the necessary support and that he will stand firm and just focus on getting a scholarship, doing what it takes to go overseas. I know one other thing I wanted to talk to Mr. Dyke about too is that we continue, when I say we, I mean all people, continue to encourage young people to stay home instead of giving them the opportunity to go overseas to compete. And that is so unfair, because some of these young boys and girls, they are in situations where they can't afford much. And
exactly,
having them, influencing them to stay in Jamaica to advance a club, that is injustice. You know, these young boys and girls should take the opportunity to go overseas and make a better way for themselves and family.
I strongly agree with that, because there's more opportunities, you know, and then it actually make you a more rounded person when you go out and see what's happening in other parts of the world. You know, I mean, it's open up your peripheral vision, so you can actually, you know, relate to what's going on outside of Jamaica.
Definitely. And the difference is, you know, back in the days when I was running, if somebody came to me and tried to influence me to stay in Jamaica, that would be a no-no. I don't know what argument they could have come up with to influence me to stay. And I've seen individuals who were worse off than me. They were living in dire poverty. Some of them didn't even have good toilets to use. And these individuals still found themselves staying in Jamaica because somebody influenced them to stay. I can't see how these are people, how low these things happen. But one of the things it is said that many of these coaches are bribing the parents. They might give the parents a TV. They might give the parent a refrigerator. And that is enough for that person to want to stay in Jamaica. It don't make any sense to me. But that is the word on the street. And it appears to be truthful.
Post athletics. Have you done coaching or you said you wanted to mentor the gentleman. Are you coaching now? Are you doing any coaching
When I retired in 2004, I started coaching and I started managing some athletes. I own Hartman Mentoring Group. So I do mentoring. I mentor young boys and girls. I mentor families. And I do mentoring with athletes as well. So this is why I reached out to him. In fact, about before the pandemic, 2 years ago, we went to Jamaica and we did a tour. We toured about 15 high schools in about 5 days, where we were just doing three schools per day. We didn't went to Edwin Allen. We didn't went to a couple of these other school we went to. We stayed in Clarendon for a couple of days. We went to places like Vier and so on. I'm saying that to say that when I was there, I saw so many inconsistencies that prevent young athletes from performing. And it was hard because even though I tried to spend as much time there with some of the athletes and I would meet the administrators and so on, it was still hard because I saw where a lot of the schools could not afford to really educate and take good care of the athletes. I remember one particular school, they have a little a tuck shop.
Yes.
And the tuck shop was actually supporting the entire school program because they couldn't get any money anywhere. And it was tough because they're saying that the burden is on that poor little crop. And because of that, they had to scrap a lot of the sports. And this particular environment was one of those areas where it was mainly fishing. So you know the parents are not affluent, so to speak. So you find that sometimes the athletes couldn't come to training when they wanted to because of situation with parents and in the home. So even though I met with some of the parents and I heard the cry, I realized that more need to be done. And this is why I am so upset when those particular coaches and other individuals encourage these young people to stay in Jamaica instead of taking up that scholarship opportunity and try to find a better way of life outside of Jamaica.
Yeah, we have to try to see whatever we can do and the opportunities that we can find. You did mention something about your and it looks like I'm interviewing you now. you mentioned a mentoring program, and can you tell me a little more about the mentoring program? I take it that you founded this program. Over.
Yes. Yes, if you need any more information, you could go to www.heartmentoringgroup.com. And I put together this mentoring program because even though I was successful as an athlete and I'm successful now in terms of academia, there were a lot of things in my life that I had to do without because it just was not available for me, especially the emotional support. The psychological support. So one of the things we do with our mentoring program is mental training, where we help to condition the athlete to learn how to deal with these stressful moments and those negative thoughts. Now, we know that there is a balance that you should have positive and negative thoughts, but what you find in people who are stressed, that they have more negative thoughts, and these negative thoughts create doubts. So one of the things we do, we don't just help at least, you know, to think in a logical way. but we help them to overcome the influx of negative thoughts that tends to cause them to lack faith and lack doubt in their ability. You know, couple of the people that I work with some professional as well, and you might be surprised if I tell you that even some of these top athletes, before a race, they go through a whole lot of stress because they are not able to deal with some of these overwhelming feelings. I am one of them who had to go through all of that. You know, I remember days when I couldn't eat before major championships. So the mental training is important, and the support that we provide to the athletes in terms of making good decisions is key, because a lot of these athletes are losing out on opportunities because they are not able to assess things. They're not able to analyze things. They're not able to make good, sound decisions. And they don't realize that sometimes these decisions, it lives with them, and it can affect their lives in a negative way. And this is where Heart Mentoring Group comes in, because we make sure that we guide and we walk that person through the day-to-day decision if they need to. We are that go-to person. If you have an issue and you want clarification, you want a solution, Heart Mentoring Group is it. Now, I remember one of my earlier mentors, he said, look, in life, if you have a solution, you don't have a problem. And he's saying that every problem has a solution. It's just for you to find it. So Heart Mentoring Group, you can say we find solutions to achieve their highest potential, not only in their lives, but also in their sport.
Exactly. The strange thing with this is that I don't think we properly introduced you. So, I mean, since we're turning this into an interview here, your name, what is your name? I know the last name must be Haughton, right? But what is your
name? Is Gregory.
Gregory
Haughton.
Name
is Gregory.
So it's Gregory Haughton, and you were from Excelsior. What year?
I graduated from Excelsior in 1992. I competed for Jamaica from 92 to 2004.
You also mentioned George Mason. What years at George Mason?
Yes, I went to George Mason from 94, and I finished in 97.
And so you finished in 97, and the the Haughton Mentoring Group started in what year? What year did it start?
Well, initially, the Haughton Mentoring Group was GP Sports and Nutrition, and we switched it over to the Heart Mentoring Group in 2015. So 2015 was when we slightly changed some of the business model, and we started to exclusively focus on athletes, the younger athletes, but we also included young boys and girls who have issues as well, and many of these issues also prevent them from being good individuals, good students.
So how far-reaching is the Haughton? You mentioned you're in Miami, but do you also reach out to athletes in Jamaica?
Yes. So recently, the Athletic Association, I should say, more the government of Jamaica, they made it clear that they are looking for a mentorship program, but because of the COVID, they said that they wanted to make sure that things were under control, and they will bring in Haughton Mentoring Group to play a part in developing some of the young talents in Jamaica, because I made it very clear to them over the past few years that with the retirement of Usain Bolt, track and field will not be the same, because we are focusing too much on the physical talent, and we are ignoring the fact that young athletes need to be developed mentally. You know, I remember when I started, when I represented Jamaica in 92, we were struggling as a young group, and it was our group the group with myself, Ines Turner, people like Merlin Fraser, Cassie and Scott, a couple others. We started doing great as we got older, and we started winning individual medals. And one of the things I found, that because we, as young people then, made a breakthrough, we saw where it started to trickle down to the younger people coming after us, because they now started to get confident. Before our time, we usually make semifinals and some finals in at the junior level. But when we started winning championships at the junior and then we started doing well at the senior, we saw where some of the younger athletes started to get confident. And they started to perform. And that is one of the things Usain Bolt also did for our athletes. Because when he started to perform great, everybody around him wanted to lift up their game. And because of that, we had great performance after performance. Now, if you notice that during the latter stage when Usain Bolt got injured and he right before he retired, that Jamaica started to struggle. And if you look on even on the male side of things, especially at the senior level, that we have not performed well ever since. And if they don't do something about it now, things will get worse, because I don't see any athlete displaying that mental toughness. You know, we have a few, but it seems like they're not making that transition. And this is why I usually reach out to the organizations in Jamaica to let them know that if you refuse to invest in the mind, then what you see now is going to continue for a long period of time. Also, if you look, you will see where the U.S. are starting to dominate athletics again. They took a little time when Usain Bolt was around, and they did not take it lightly. And now they are here, and in both men and women, they decide that they want to reclaim what was taken from them. And Jamaica seem like they're just focusing more on the physical, and if they don't put more effort and emphasis on the mental training, gold and silver might be just a part.
Yeah, it looks like Pastor Cameron is on the line, and so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cameron. And Pastor Cameron, if you need to go over the time, just let me know, and we can push for the next half an hour or whatever seems fit. So, Pastor Cameron, is that you on the line, Pastor Cameron?
Yes, I am here. I am here.
Good evening. I was doing some interviewing. Gregory Horton here. You know, until you came on board. So it's all yours,
Dr. Gregory. How are you doing, Dr. Gregory?
I am so blessed. You know, thanks for asking, Pastor. How about you?
Yes, I am. I am giving thanks. I had some difficulty earlier on. I was hoping that Mr. Dyke from the Edwin Allen would be promising he would be joining us, and but we know how these things can go for sometimes. Jamaica, we have just finished a successful boys and girls championship, which really it is remarkable to know that they were able to pull off such a feat in the national stadium, and truly it must be the work of Almighty God. It was, we see where Jamaica College, they gained the boys championship, and Edwin Allen gained the girls championship, and I was really looking forward to Mr. Dyke, because this is the 8th overall girls championship for Edwin Allen, and it is the 7th. And you know, I started working with Mr. Dyke a couple of years ago, and I tell you, he's doing a marvelous job down there in Frankfield, and truly we are excited about you know what is happening, but I want to hear your views concerning seeing that we have pulled off this successful event, the Boys and Girls Championship, last weekend at the National Stadium, where the, you know, spectators was down to a minimal. What are your views on the Tokyo Olympics coming up, with some people are even saying that it should be postponed? Let me hear your views on that, Dr. Hahn.
Well, you know, I think the Japanese are afraid, because they normally don't like to let in outside people like that. And because of the COVID, they are somewhat worried about the impact, letting in so many different people from different walks of life, that it may, after the game, that it may come back and haunt them. So they are worried. Now, if we can postpone things such as the pen relays, which is one of the biggest athletic championships in the U.S., and we were able to postpone boys and girls champs because of the fear of what may happen, I can understand why Tokyo would be afraid to host an event like that. Now, I am one of them who believe in data. We should go where the data points. I know they are saying that if you take the vaccine, it should be okay, but that is going to create a whole lot of additional issues. And I also find that because the vaccine is not fully approved by the FDA for the most part, that people who take the vaccine, they are at their own risk. And so you can't force a person to take the vaccine, but if you're hosting something and you're afraid, what should you do? Should you make it mandatory for them to take vaccines that are not certified, because they were only supposed to be used for this pandemic in terms of the emergency situation? So there's a whole lot of questions that we would need to answer, and I can't answer the questions because I don't have the data. I'll tell you this, if I was one of those athletes, I would be terrified to have to travel so far on an aeroplane and mingle with so many different people, because being in some of these Olympic villages, people are not just going to stay in their room. People go to the Olympics to have fun, to celebrate, to see, to meet new people. So it's going to be hard to get some of these young people to say, stay in your room and don't go anywhere. It's just not possible. And when you have people who may disobey rules and regulations like that, it can create a whole lot more problems for a country like Japan, who very quiet and calm people. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would just say that we can all plan. The scripture says, when man plan, God wipe out. So we can only plan with the best of intention and do whatever we need to do in order to make it possible. But at the end of the day, it's a hard decision to make, and I'm happy I'm not in that driving seat making that decision.
I want you to put yourself in the, well, you're an athlete, so you would understand. Say like a athlete who probably have his last year to show his stuff at the Olympics, which will be a turning point in his life, and facing this pandemic. How, put me in the mind of an athlete in this position.
Well, I can say this, that because I am older and I have more experience, that question is a little bit. I will answer that question in a biased way, because what I know now, I know that life after track and field is real. So I would never put my health in jeopardy for nothing based on what I know. I am struggling some days with aches and pain that I got because I lift in the weight room and hurt my back here and hurt your calf here running. And these are temporary, but no one really knows the impact a COVID may have on that individual and their family. So my thing is this, I have learned to overlook some things and focus on the now. And I would tell the athletes too that, look, if you miss your last Olympics, it's not the end of the world. You just have to put things in perspective and say that you are alive, and you're able to tell the tale, because it can go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to switch a little bit, Dr. Cameron. I want to make an announcement, and I pray. A very good friend of mine, he went to Excelsior, older gentleman. He took me as his son. He is from Olaba. He spent most of his days in Clarendon. He was very instrumental in making sure that Veer Technical is what it is. He was the mentor for Veronica Campbell. He passed away today at 6 o'clock. Neville Mighton, very good friend of mine. I am still feeling the blow, because I was actually with them through the entire process. You know, it wasn't for me to say, but once the family made it, the announcement, I feel I can say that. So, you know, he lived in Canada for a while, and I know some of your viewers, they are also from Canada, but it's unfortunate that we lost Neville Mighton today. He ran a good race. He was actually and still is the world junior champion in terms of record holder for Jamaica. He did it early 60s, and it is still there. Very good man. He was very instrumental in the J3 and many of the decisions and some of the benefits that athletes are getting now. And I just want to take the time to say condolence to his family. And I pray that, you know, they just continue to focus on what is to come.
What did he set the junior Olympic records in?
The 800 meter. I think he ran 1:46.1, something like that.
Oh, okay. So he would be like a Sebastian Coe or a Steve Ovid.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Yeah.
But Dr. Arton, we are not producing the distance like how we used to, because I mean there's a long way between Herb McKinley and a Bertland Cameron, and then there is even a long way between a Bertland Cameron and say you, and where do we go from here, because we are looking at the talents coming up, but especially in the 400, is it a lack of coaching, or will this new president for the J3 take on that field? I know we are known as the sprint factory of the world. I do not know how long we'll be able to maintain that status. But let me hear your feedback on this matter.
I personally think, and my statement now, you may find some coaches may feel a little offended, because I think that what it takes to develop 800 meter and the upper distance, that we lack the knowledge and the experience. You know, you have a gentleman by the name of Simon Newman. Very good guy. He was one of the best in a long time, and he ended up coming back to Jamaica, and he coached a guy that also went to George Mason by the name of Mario Watt. We had Alex Morgan. I remember 1 year, George Mason finished 1-2-3 in the 800, and all the guys ran 1:45. And even though they had the qualifying standard, they met the qualifying standard, the federation decided not to take these guys to the world championship. And even though these guys paid their own fear, they were at the gate asking and pleading to say, just give us the accreditation and we will take care of everything else. And the federation still said that they would not. So there is a certain attitude that some of these leaders put out when it comes to the 800 meters. You know, they just feel like it's not a true representation of Jamaica. They want to be known as the speed merchant, the 200 runner, the 400 meter runner. They don't want to spend time and develop the 800 meter runner. And Mr. Mighton also made it very clear that more needs to be done in terms of how you develop the 800 meter runner. And one of the things I saw that Jamaica did a few years ago, they went to Kenya to get some 800 meter runners, and they paid a lot of money, but it seemed like it was only a show. It wasn't something that they truly wanted to do, because if you wanted to do that, then you would have gotten a group of coaches and you would have sit and explain to them and show them the philosophy and show them how they can produce good runners and what it takes. But that didn't happen. So one of the things we find is that they may say they want the results, but maybe it's just all words, it's just all talk, because we don't see it in their actions.
But there are certain events that are coming back, and it was recently announced that the trials for the Olympics, the senior trials, they are coming back and stuff like that. And, you know, even some events happened a couple of weeks ago, and we were absent from them. When I'm saying, are those helping the cause of the athlete, or whole, you know, just in your feedback on this matter?
Well, you know, I do understand that, you know, in a situation like this, we have to cut back on a whole lot of stuff. I do understand that. And this is why we need competent people who can sit down and make good decisions, have good judgment in terms of what is best moving forward. Now, as again, I am not one of them who likes to talk when I don't have the information, I don't have the data. I know that people have been talking about funding and how much funding